Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So over the past few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to live out love in a variety of ways. And I know for me, I was one of the ways that love was embodied in my life is in the congregation I grew up in church. And we had lots of musicians, like these fine musicians over here that have blessed us this morning, and handbell choirs. And when I was about 5 years old, we learned a song in children's choir. And it went like this. Maybe you know it. I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, and I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-L-L-Y. It's funny how that stuff sticks with you, right? Oh my goodness. And we would go on and on and on and on. Mrs. Bramlett would have us going faster and faster and faster. I could not have told you when I was 5 years old what living eternally meant. That came later, of course. But what I knew was the love that I experienced in those teachers and those leaders and those people who raised me, much like we have pledged to raise Laura in the church. That is often how we know God's love. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." But here's a question that I didn't know when I was 5 years old, and a question I still struggle with today. What might it mean? What does it mean to be a Christian? Why Christian today? What does it mean to follow Jesus? A few years ago, two Christian authors actually started a conference. They were talking one day and came up with this question that they were just curious about. Why Christian? The gathering was not about how to be a Christian, although that's obviously something we all need to know, or what a Christian is, but the question was and is, the conference has been going on for 4 years now, why Christian? Why, according to the purpose written on the conference website, with all the atrocities past and present that are being committed in God's name, why with all the hostile divisions in the church today, why, in spite of all of our doubts and our frustrations and sometimes our lack of faith and our fears about the church, why are we still Christians? Why do we still have skin in the game? What would your answer be today? This is no cocktail party conversation, is it? What the disciples did seems so simple in today's complex world. Jesus said, "Follow me," and we read that they left everything, and they did. The skeptic in me has always wondered, did they leave a note for the wife and kids back home? Like, how did that work exactly? Did they drop back in to do laundry or to get a home-cooked meal? Did they send money from the road as they were traveling around Galilee? Didn't their mother tell them not to follow strangers or not to jump off the cliff just because somebody else was doing it? But they did. So why are you a Christian? Why do you choose to follow a man who lived 2,000 years ago and called a few men in boats to follow him? I answer this question for a living, of course. It's not generally a cocktail party or lunch conversation or fuel for soccer game sideline chat that I sometimes find myself in with other parents, except, of course, when the conversation turns to, so what do you do? What's your job? Social work, I sometimes say. If I just know the conversation needs to go off in another direction. If I say pastor, people tend to get really quiet. I'm not exactly what they think of when they think of a pastor. A few times people have said, "Gosh, you don't look like a pastor." And then one of two things happens. They change the conversation to, "Well, what are you doing this weekend?" Which doesn't really end well either. Or to, "Wow, what made you decide to be a pastor? Why?" Right? Why do you do that? But here's the thing. I don't take any of this as being about me, and I'm not telling you this because it's about me. This is about a culture, right? And a time that we live in. in which folks are really confused and disoriented about what it means to be the church, and they're skeptical too, what it means to be a leader or a pastor in the church or any kind of lay leader, what it means to be Christian. And frankly, it's why someone, they're asking why someone would follow a rough and tumble man who lived 2,000 years ago and walked along the shore of Galilee and did things like turning a few loaves and fishes into enough to feed thousands and healing and talking about love. People are confused about what it means to be a Christian, about who we are, which is why more than ever, we need to ask that question and we need to get really clear. You may know that this is the mission of the United Methodist Church. I'm going to our Northern Illinois annual conference this afternoon. Al McClellan is going, Kathy Isaacs. We're gathering with Methodists from all over Northern Illinois, from Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, from Piatone to Wisconsin. And we'll be praying together and singing together and doing some voting for General Conference delegates and other things that are important, especially this year, as many of you know. So this mission is pretty simple and clear, but I'm not sure we're always certain these days about what it might look like to be a disciple, to follow Jesus, and even what it means to change the world. Does it mean, for example, we've had some conversations, does that mean we go knocking on doors and give rewards to those who bring in the most new members? Does it mean we have festivals in our parking lot and flyer the neighborhood with postcards and invitations? Does it mean that we wear skinny jeans and have lattes in the church narthex so that we're relevant? We're trying to figure that out, which is why we need to ask, why, Christian? This summer at Trinity, as we heard earlier, you're going to hear more opportunities to be in conversation and into the fall about our identity here at Trinity. I named that we are in an identity clarification phase of our journey together, and that's super important because the question why points to what is your purpose? You know, if you have to ask that question about yourself, it points to what is your purpose here on earth? Why Christian? And one of the questions we're asking folks after this retreat back in April, which I know not all of you were able to be a part of, but I hope you'll continue to be a part of these conversations in the future. The question is this: what does it look like to follow Jesus in the northwest suburbs, in Mount Prospect, Elk Grove, Des Plaines, Arlington Heights? I've forgotten some, a few more. I know I see you out there. In 2019, what does it look like to follow Jesus? And that should lead us right back to the question of why. Why Christian? Why now? Why Trinity Church? What is our purpose? What would the world be like without us? Might be a way of thinking about it. Another way of asking that question is, what is going on in your life right now that will help you say, answer with certainty that question, why? Why are you a Christian? Why do you need Jesus? Why do the people around you need to see Jesus in you right now in your life? Maybe it's just simply saying, because I need the church, because I need the choir. This is why I put my trust in the Jesus who said, follow me. This is why I need this community. This is why this community needs me. I found this definition recently. You know, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus and who follows the rule that Jesus lays out for us, the rule of life, which is pretty simple. Love God, love neighbor is basically what it boils down to. But here's another way of thinking about it. A disciple is someone who has moved from being the recipient of the church's mission to being responsible for the church's mission. We are the church. Why are we a Christian? Because we know the world needs a church filled with love. So why Christian? It may not be, as I said, the best cocktail party conversation, but it sure might be good Sunday lunch conversation this afternoon. I hope you'll try it. I'll be inviting some of you to share, and maybe if you feel like you have something to share, let me know over the summer. I want to be able to do that in worship. And remember, to share your testimony, to share your story is simply this. It's telling the truth about your life, about how God has blessed you, about how you've been challenged, about where Jesus has been, about why you are Christian. Telling the truth. And truth is, we can be in church all of our life next to people in the pews and singing hymns and praying next to them and maybe not knowing how God is really working in their life and what the answer to that question is, why Christian? At that Why Christian conference, the responses to the question were as varied as the people who were there. An Episcopal priest was there, and she said, "I'm a Christian because having a body wasn't always good news for me, but I met the good news that had a body, the body of Christ. I'm a messy and embodied person, and this is a messy and embodied faith." Another person said, "I'm a Christian because God knows my pain, not in an abstract way, but in a real, bloody, enfleshed way." This was a good one. Nadia Boltz-Weber said, "I am a Christian because..." There's some humor here, so be prepared. "Because self-righteousness feels good for a minute, the way peeing your pants feels warm for a minute." That's a great quote, isn't it? But Jesus came to save us from that, right? The self-righteousness, right? And she goes on to say, "Christ calls us to die to ourselves, not to remodel or renovate ourselves. So if you want to hang out with grown-up Christians, you got to forgive and learn to forgive, apologize, repent, and repair." Another person at the conference says, "I am a Christian because the gospel is good news for gay people too." Another perspective. And another said, "I'm a Christian because Christianity gives me the language to lament and to doubt and to confess some of the ugly realities I see in our nation, like the sin of racism." Another, and this may speak to some of you in the room, said, "I'm a Christian because I don't always know if this story is true, but I choose to live my life as if it were. I choose to live as if the things Jesus died for are worthy of God's sacrifice and therefore worthy of mine." And the last one I'll share is from the late Rachel Held Evans, and she said, "I'm a Christian because the story of Jesus is the story I'm willing to risk being wrong about." The story I'm willing to risk being wrong about. Why Christian? This is a beautiful hymn that we've, Austin led us singing this hymn a couple weeks ago at the retreat, actually. It's called "The Summons," and it speaks to God's call on each of our lives to follow me, to follow Jesus. Speaks of a call that leads us to an unknown place where we do need to ask questions. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? When the disciples left their nets and their boat and their father, we read, and everything they had known, they left to follow the one who embodied God's love and grace and truth and justice in a way that nobody else they had ever known had done before. And why? Because a power greater than their own had called them by name. A love which knows no end had clung to them somehow. A life which boiled down to this: love God, love your neighbor, all the rest is commentary. Why Christian? I pray that as you ask yourself that God would speak to you more clearly about God's call upon your life to follow the one who loves us, the one who holds us, the one who never lets us go. May it be so. Amen.